Fwiff, 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 fwiff. Welcome back to another episode of Uncle Takes. We're your hosts, Monica and Tank. And today we have returning guest, Braden. Braden, thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
Today we're going to talk about Rush Hour 2, which came out in 2001. It's a comedy action movie. Its director was Brett Ratner. And it stars Chris Tucker, who plays Carter, and Jackie Chan, who plays Lee. The primary enemy is John Lone, plays Ricky Tan. Zhang Ziyi plays Hu Li, who's Ricky Tan's triad counterpart. And then also for the good team is Rosalind Sanchez. She plays Isabella, who works for the Secret Service. And then there's Alan King. He plays Stephen Rain. He's a bad guy. And then other actors in there who really aren't worth going into great detail or their characters' names. But Harris Yulin, Kenneth Sang, Jeremy Piven makes a cameo appearance, and so does Don Cheadle. But Don Cheadle, right, I mean, I wasn't the only one that found this. He's not even credited on IMDb.
Yeah, I couldn't find him on IMDb, and I wasn't sure if that was him. I had to, like, look it up, and yeah, he just does, like, an uncredited cameo.
Yeah, I mean, he plays more of a role than Jeremy Piven, and Jeremy Piven made it on the list.
But he was on the list, yeah. That's strange.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe he just, like, said, don't include me on this. I don't want to be associated with this movie. I don't know.
Could be.
But, yeah, am I missing anybody?
No, I think those are the notable characters.
Yeah. Well, the summary of this movie is that after rescuing a diplomat's daughter back in Carter's hometown of L.A. in Rush Hour 1, buddy cops Lee and Carter are enjoying some nice vacation time in Lee's hometown, Hong Kong. But Lee cannot stop working his local cases. After getting another case about triad leader Ricky Tan and his involvement with counterfeit money, Lee and Carter are back in action, taking on the entire global triad gang. With a little help from the Secret Service, they successfully thwart the entire operation and take down Ricky Tan and many of his associates. And in a nutshell, I mean, that's the movie. The intricacies of the plot, I don't know, aren't really important because this isn't an action comedy. This is a comedy slash action movie. And, you know, it really leans into the first one there.
Yeah, it's mostly just getting jokes and comedy bits off, which is fine because it does it well, I think.
Yeah. Well, I kind of want to start out, like, Jackie Chan is a fixture in pop culture, right? Like, before this movie, he was a fixture. Did he gain popularity from Kung Fu movies? Was he, like, affiliated with Bruce Lee? What was his upcoming? Do you guys know?
I mostly know him from these, really. But
I think he's famous for, like, sort of physical comedy kung fu movies.
And it wasn't, like, serious kung fu movies with Bruce Lee? I don't even know if I've seen many Bruce Lee movies.
I don't think I've seen any, but no, I think he was
one of his top listed movies is something called The Drunken Master, which seems like an unserious kung fu movie.
Yeah, I think he's mostly like a comedic kung fu actor, at least in America. It's possible that he was, I don't know, something else somewhere else.
Yeah, but I mean, you guys agree that he's like revered culturally, right? Like everyone loves Jackie Chan. I'm just not sure like what movies made him popular because this is like the only movie I know with him.
Yeah, I think he's generally pretty well liked. I mean, he did have his own TV show. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, so, Kung Fu, right? I guess I can't... What does Kung Fu mean to you guys? You know, like, is it Bloodsport? Is it Jean-Claude Van Damme? Is that Kung Fu?
I don't think I've ever seen, like, a Kung Fu movie.
But that's what he's doing here, right? Like, that's the key action element of this movie. That's what Jackie Chan's contribution is, right?
I mean, he's mostly doing physical comedy in this. It's not really like... There's no, like, serious martial arts in this, I don't think. It's meant to be goofy.
it's meant to be silly, because they're not actually, like, their aim is not to kill the other person when they're doing their kung fu moves. It's to just, like, do acrobatics and stylistic punching and to be silly while doing it, right? Is that his shtick for all of his movies?
I mean, I think it's a lot of goofiness. I don't think it's necessarily, like, about the lack of killing people so much as it's, like, meant to be more comedic than, like, have any sort of tension.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's many guns in this movie, but there's not a whole lot of killing in this movie. And, I mean, it's definitely a choice. Like, even when they're fighting on the back of the SS Minnow Johnson, right, he's punching these guys, and they're about to, like, fall over into the water, and he makes a conscious choice mid-fight to, like, grab them and pull them back onto the boat.
Yeah, I was going to mention that, but I didn't want to get ahead. And he, like, it's, like, quick, but if you catch, he, like, you know, when he does get bumped and knocks the guy off, he, like, turns around to the guy and gives him, like, a finger wag, the guy that, like, you know, hit him and made him knock the other guys off the boat. To, like, so he really doesn't, like, want to hurt people more than he needs to, I suppose.
He just wants to incapacitate to advance his own goals.
I mean, he's playing a cop in this, so I guess he's not supposed to just, you know, assault people.
Oh, that's true, yeah. I mean, but he's Chief Inspector Lee.
I think we only ever see him hold a gun once, but I mean, we can get to that later. But I think that's the only time I remember seeing him, like, holding a gun.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so the movie starts out, they're in Hong Kong, right? And they're listening to the Beach Boys in the car. And I think this movie just starts out funny and stays funny the entire time.
I would agree with that.
Would you agree? Monica, is that what you got?
I mean, I think comedically this movie is, like, okay.
The movie.
Yeah, like, I thought it had some moments, but it wasn't. I hear this, like, I've seen this talked about as, like, one of the most rewatchable movies. Like, I'm in no rush to rewatch this. Like, it was a movie. It was fine. I like buddy cop movies in general, I think, and I was sort of just okay with this one. I mean, there was no plot, so it was, like, leaning on the comedy. And I think it, like, hits that sometimes, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, it had a plot. There were things that happened.
Yeah, but, like, you don't care about them at all.
That's not why you're in it. That's not why you're watching it.
Yeah, no. you're there for the comedy.
Yeah. And thinking about this, I mean, I've seen this movie 100 times. And Brayden, I think you might be right up there with
me. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm probably near that.
I mean, I think I've seen it 5 times in the last 2 weeks. Because I don't mind rewatching this. I think from start to finish, like, Chris Tucker's performance, I don't know how he didn't win more awards for this. Because it's every line he says, and that's why you mentioned I had, like, 3 pages of notes, because it's literally just a transcript of everything that Chris Tucker says.
Yeah, a lot of my notes were Chris Tucker quotes, too.
it's kind of similar to Tombstone, right? I don't know if you've seen the 1993 Tombstone with Doc Holliday, played by Val Kilmer. But literally everything he says in the movie is the coolest shit you ever heard. And it's just that, but the comedy version. It's, I cannot, he slays the entire movie. Everything he says.
Slays.
The way he says it, I mean, yeah, it's hilarious. I know, mean, Brayden agrees.
If you say so.
If you say so?
Like, yeah, I don't know. Some of it was, like, entertaining, but it was just, like, watching him do a stand-up bit. And some of it was funny, but some of it was just, like, it definitely just felt like they were just, like, go improv some lines, and then he did, and you're like, okay, yeah, I guess that's the best we got. Like, I don't know. I mean, he did stuff. It's not like none of it worked. It's just, like, it didn't feel like not all of these are winners, you know?
Which one wasn't a winner?
I think most of them.
Oh, crap.
I don't know which lines do you think, I mean, I can look at your notes. Which lines do you think were really good?
Just conceptually, right? I think a lot of the funny bits. Yeah, Carter's jurisdictional confusion, which comes up a lot, right? Because he's in Hong Kong, But everywhere he goes, he insists on saying, hey, LAPD, hey, stop, it's the police. And he just has no fucking appreciation for the fact that he's not in LA.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was funny. I guess that's a thing he does. A lot of the stuff he does is, like, he's kind of racist, I guess. So if you think that's funny, I guess that's good. Like, he doesn't seem to know there's different parts of Asia. Because he says he's going to slap him back to Bangkok. And he says they want to go get some sushi.
Mushu.
He definitely says sushi at some point.
So the opening scene when he tries to talk to the girls and does this translation.
Oh, yeah.
And they drive off and he's like, oh, wait, I just asked him to go get some sushi. And then he says, no, you asked him, I don't know, whatever insane thing he actually said by accident.
Oh, that's another get one. Naked and sacrifice a small goat.
That's what it was. Yeah. Oh, he was like, oh, which word was goat? Like, that's not funny. Like,
that was okay. That was fine. But so we recently watched the Dungeons & Dragons movie. Do you remember that, Braden?
Yeah.
And in that one, they do this thing where they revive people and they have a bunch of jokes. Like they can ask the skeletons or whatever three questions before they get unrevived, and they're trying to investigate, and they keep fucking up the questions, and then they just ask them random things for a while. And because the comedic premise is so open-ended, I just feel like the standard for what you're saying ends up being really high. So when they do these translation bits, and then it's whatever Jackie Chan's going to say back to him is just going to be it can be whatever, right? He can just say, oh, you said whatever. So when he says some of these things, it's just kind of oh, okay, that's a joke, but
yeah, it might have been better if his messed up translation was close, but he just got one thing wrong or something.
Jackie Chan also, I don't think, does the verbal comedy very well in some places. He's much more for his expressions and his physical comedy. When he was delivering, so Don't Touch a Chinese Man's Radio is, or Chinese Man's CD player is a callback, right, to
yeah.
a black man's radio.
Yeah.
But I feel I've seen the Chris Tucker version of that, and it's a lot more animated. And Jackie Chan was delivering it as if he was oh, we're legally obligated to say this line because it was in the first one. And he's don't touch a Chinese man's radio. And you're yeah, no, we know,
Because that's not a thing. The reason it's funny is because it's not a thing. Jackie Chan's just doing specifically a callback to Rush Hour.
I know, but he's barely doing it. It's he didn't want to do it. It was you don't have to, but I don't know. If you don't enjoy it, I'm not going to enjoy it. So.
Oh, man. Yeah, because the other one for Carter's failed attempts to speak Cantonese and Lee's resulting translation was... whenever they're in the club, in the triad club. And he says, all right, I won. Or no, he goes out and says something in Cantonese, and he goes back to Carter or Lee and says, what did I just say? And he goes, you just asked everyone to pull out the samurai swords and shave your butt. And he you didn't enjoy that one? That's not...
No, because that's not funny. That's
it's
nothing.
Not clever enough for you?
That's nothing. That's you could have said literally anything, and that's the best they came up with.
It just pokes fun at his lack of proficiency with the language. Cantonese is a tough language. So for him to
I understand the comedic premise of the joke. I'm just saying that the premise of the joke allows you to say, you said... blank, and that could be anything, and they came up with samurai swords and shave your butt. And it's what? This isn't funny.
I feel like it could have been funnier had they just had him get a couple of the parts of it correct, you know what I mean? And I don't know what the joke could have been, but he was trying to get people to separate to different sides of the room, but it could have been something people, closer to that.
If the people were reacting in some way,
yeah, they just blank stared him,
yeah, so it's I don't know. Yeah, because I'm assuming. Yeah, I don't know. They probably didn't know the translation.
I still find it funny, but it could have been. It could have been better.
Yeah, I don't think it wasn't anything. I think this was generally a funny movie, but it's just
the first one was funnier because the girls reacted more appropriately. They fucking peeled out, and took off. Whereas this room full of people just kind of sat there staring at them.
Yeah,
nobody chuckled or even looked at each other confused. So yeah, I kind of see what you mean there.
He says, like, all the ugly women and men on this side, and, like...
And all fine, the fine women on that side, I think right now.
Funny, it would have been funnier if they, like, sent some of the women to different places. Like, if he was saying that, and they sent, you know, they tried to, like, send one of the women got offended because they were sent to the wrong side or something. You know? Like, I don't know, something like that would have been funny to me. But this was just, like, shave your butt? It's like, who is this for? Like, is this for a child? With their samurai swords, like, again, Japanese, like, where are we? Like, he was saying, what was he saying there was samurai sword is my question. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that he said any words actually in Cantonese. I think all of Chris Tucker's Cantonese attempts were just gibberish.
Yeah, like it's like an improv, but it's just like if you were just like, okay, do a Chinese, you know, blackface show or whatever. It's just like, okay, this guy is just saying Chinese words. Like, this is really something.
So you said that it felt like Chris Tucker was just given, you know, creative freedom to do whatever he wants.
Oh yeah, I think they definitely just told him to, like, improv some stuff.
Just go be funny.
Yeah.
And I think that's a key difference between that. Like, Rush Hour original had more structure.
Yeah, I think he was probably, like, held on, like, more of a leash on that one and probably had to stick to more of a script.
And I think what makes this movie magical, I mean, specifically Chris Tucker's performance, is that he was given the liberty to just, like, hey, go be funny. And he fucking nailed it. Because in Rush Hour 3, it's back to the same rigidity that was in Rush Hour 1, and it wasn't as good. So Rush Hour 2 is, like, the standout because Chris Tucker was given the ability to just go improv and be funny.
Yeah, and I think had he done a better job, I would have enjoyed the movie.
I don't know how he could have done a better job.
I feel like I just explained how he could have done a better job. It was moments ago.
I mean, I love that he is unable to stop hitting on women in literally everything he does. Like, he'll interrupt saving the day with a bomb in his hand to tell Isabella Molina, damn you fine, right?
Yeah, I guess I've seen, like, the Fast and Furious movies where they have Tyrese do this, and it feels like Tyrese does this better.
Ooh.
Where he's just, like, super horned up mid, you know, superhero mission. And it's just like, yeah, this is, yeah, like, a more charming version.
It was great that Tyrese was able to draw inspiration from Chris Tucker's monumental fucking performance in Rush
Hour
2.
And build on it and do a better job. I think the fact that I've seen, like, those movies more, I'm just kind of like, oh yeah, that's the better version. You know?
Different genre, I guess.
Is it a different? It's kind of a different.
I mean, it's Fast and Furious, Rush, are they buddy cops?
Some of them are.
I don't even know what fucking buddy cop means. Like, is that just whenever there's two cops and they're sort of like against each other, but still accomplishing the same goal in the end?
It's just like two cops, who are buddies who are working on a case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Skotsky and Hutch, the other guys, 21 Jump Street, Men in Black.
Turner and Hooch.
Turner and Hooch.
Yeah. I love Carter's inability to blend in. I mean, he's just so arrogant walking the streets of Hong Kong.
Well, you literally see that in the first scene when they're like, he gets the gun, they're going into that club. Yeah. Like the first main scene, and he's just like, okay, you know, try to be a tourist, blend in. He's just like, you know, it's just impossible. Like, and he just immediately starts being outrageous. Like,
within a minute, he's on stage in a triad gangster bar doing karaoke.
Wait, he's literally booing the previous guy singing while sitting at the bar. He's like,
but to his credit, like, Lee fooled him and said, "We're just going to a club," and didn't tell him that it was a triad.
He didn't know it was a gangster bar. That is fair.
Yeah. I love Carter's inability to accept responsibility and blame literally anyone for anything that goes wrong. So whenever he does the translation, whenever they're in the car hitting on the other girls, he throws the Beach Boys CD out the window because it must have been that and not him inviting them to sacrifice a small goat. Later on, you know, they're trying to evade, they get out of the back of the truck and they try to get on top of the truck. So Carter gets up there first and then just doesn't go for Lee, doesn't help him up afterward. So Jackie Chan has to go beat the crap out of a couple triads and put him in the dumpster. And he gets down and he's like, Lee, where the hell were you? And Lee goes, you left me. He goes, I didn't leave you. I was waiting for you.
I was waiting up there for you.
Yeah, and later whatever, Lee had a bomb in his mouth and his mouth was taped shut. He goes, why didn't you tell me you had a bomb in your mouth? When his mouth was taped up. I mean, I didn't say she had a bomb. I said she was the bomb.
That was one of the ones I liked that. Like,
it's just classic.
Yeah, those all happened in this movie. I remember all those scenes.
And you didn't giggle at any of them?
They were just okay. Like, I don't know. This was just okay. They were, like, funny enough, but it was like, I feel like, I don't know, especially when you're watching movies with other people, like, me and Brandon watch this together, and, like, I definitely laughed at a couple moments, but, like, I wasn't, like, dying laughing during this movie like I would be with some, you know, better movies.
Would you say Anybody But You is a better movie than this?
I think I might have laughed more than during that movie.
Really?
I think so.
That's insane. Now, I mean, everything that Chris Tucker says is just hilarious to me.
I think this is really low standards for, like,
so I really enjoyed, like, right after they're leaving the club, I really enjoyed that, like, bamboo fight scene with just, like, everything about that. Like, you know, the immediate action that starts, and then, like, Chris Tucker runs up there as if he's going to go help him, like, climbs two steps and just sees the guy fall. Oh, hell no, I'm gonna, he just runs off and goes to take the stairs.
Hey, I'm gonna take the stairs.
He's just sitting there fighting, you know, 10, 15 people on this bamboo while you just, you know, occasionally cut to Chris Tucker, you know, huffing and puffing up, running up the stairs. There's been a couple other movies, I think, that have done that bamboo.
I can confirm
kind of fight
that
thing after.
Happened.
Yeah.
Again. All this stuff definitely happened in the movie. I just, like, I don't know. I guess maybe I've seen versions of that scene so many times that it just feels like nothing now. Maybe this was, like, the first one, and I just, like, don't recognize it for being innovative. But I think they do that same scene in Hobbs and Shaw at some point. It's just like, okay, sure.
They also do it in that Marvel movie, Shang-Chi.
Yeah, but that was, like,
they do a bamboo fight scene.
Yeah, but, like, not the comedy bits, I mean.
Okay, Hobbs and Shaw, is this a movie that came out in 2019?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So Rush Hour 2 did it 18 years beforehand?
Yeah, that's what I just said. Did you not hear me when I was like, maybe I've seen movies that have done it afterwards, so it doesn't seem it. And then you're like, don't you mean the one that happened after? I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I mean. 100%. We're on the same page. I don't know. Yeah. This all just seems like standard. It's like, yeah, no, they were... One guy does it this way, and the other guy does it this way. It's like, yep. It's like Chris Tucker's yelling. Can you believe it? And the next scene, it's like, he's yelling again. Wild. I feel like Chris Tucker feels like a guy doing blackface the whole time, too. So it feels kind of racist. I know he is a black man, but it feels like someone doing a parody of a black man the whole time. So it's like, I don't know.
I think that's just, yeah. I think that's just his style of comedy. Yeah. Because, like, his character is very similar in Friday.
He kind of, like, bugs out his eyes and yells, and I'm just like, ooh.
Yeah, he's got, like, kind of like the yelling high pitch. Yeah. A lot of screaming.
I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen any blackface comedy. So I guess I wouldn't draw that comparison.
I'm not sure this wasn't just racist. I don't know.
I mean, it definitely has racial humor in it.
I mean, it has, like, racist humor.
some of the lines definitely probably wouldn't make it if it was being made today.
Oh, 100%.
Like, I think they're making a Rush Hour 4. And,
are they? Why?
We'll see how that
this movie doesn't demand sequels. Turns out.
That's going to have to be so diluted. Yeah, but I would agree that Rush Hour 3 doesn't necessarily demand a sequel. But Rush Hour, like, was hit or miss. And I'm so glad that they decided to make Rush Hour 2.
Right, because
to give
not,
us this gift,
yeah,
to pave the way for Hobbs and Shaw to have repeat jokes, to pave the way for Tyrese and Fast and Furious,
yeah,
to draw inspiration from Rush Hour 2. I mean, this was a beacon of comedy. It's, you know, comedic progress in film.
It really shows you how far we've come, I guess. So it was good to revisit this.
Laid a foundation.
Yeah,
you know. You're welcome, Tyrese. You're
so
welcome.
Way underground, though.
Hobbs,
you know?
And Shaw. Way this underground?
Like
this wasn't a mainstream movie?
A basement level foundation is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, we got down below the frost line, you know?
Yeah.
You're welcome. All of Hollywood, Thank you, Chris Tucker.
And now we've built on it, and there's just no need to go down there unless we really need something from it.
Oh, man. I guess the one question I had that was out of place. Why did Isabella open her bathrobe in order to ask for their help? Like, whenever they find out it's just a pack of money. And she's like, well, maybe you can help the Secret Service. I couldn't understand that.
Oh,
was it just...
Well, that's where her boobs were.
That's where her boobs were. Okay. Yeah. And they like boobs.
Yeah.
I mean...
And Snoopy.
Clearly. And Snoopy.
Yeah, what
Snoopy.
Was that all about? Did she have a Snoopy tattoo? Was that what it was supposed to be?
It kind of looked like, I was telling Dave, it kind of just looked like if you were seeing his head from, like, the top down.
That never came back up, right?
But, like, they never revisit it. She never confirms or denies if it was
I was
Snoopy.
Sure the
they
tattoo was going to come back up, and it just never came back up. You know?
No, I must not know what Snoopy looks like. I mean, it just looked like,
I thought it was like a flower or something.
Yeah, like a fleur-de-lis, almost. But anyway, yeah, that's where her boobs were. Great. Okay. So, loud and clear. I mean, if she asked me to do anything, I'd probably do it. Yeah. You know?
Apparently, yeah. I mean...
Well, she kind of does it again later when she shows the badge, because it's also, like, right on her, like, on her bra strap.
Oh, yeah, that was before on the helipad on the roof?
When she flashes the badge, and he's like, let me see that again.
I didn't get a good look at that.
Yeah, I mean, that was a joke. Like, that was funny, I guess. That was, you know, like, I got what they were doing there, you know?
Yeah. So after they go back to the embassy, after they get dropped off naked, one of the questions I saw in Braden's notes was, are they the same size? Yeah, like, if Chris Tucker is supposed to be 2 feet taller than everyone in Hong Kong, why can he just wear Jackie Chan's clothes?
Yeah, he just puts on his suit, no problem, fits, you know, everything's fine. Like, they should have done it where, like, the arms were really short or something, or he could barely button it. The yeah. pants, because he does immediately then go get a better suit. It's like, they definitely could have just put him in some really poorly fitting clothes for that, you know, 30 seconds before he wandered into the street.
It's actually weird how many times this movie just wasted comedic premises, but I don't know. He wasn't actually that much. It's not like Chris Tucker's that tall either. It's not like he's The Rock, you know? So like, when he says I'm 2 feet taller than everybody, I guess that's like an Asian people are short joke, but it sort of would have made more sense if he was bigger. Or if, like, he was just black, like, he's just black, that's why he doesn't blend in? I don't know. Listen, your friends.
Yeah, the, when he gets in the taxi and he's like, chase that car, I mean, that's got to be one of the best scenes. He's like, you're not moving. This is the opposite of chasing.
I like, when I watched that last week, I restarted that scene. 5 to 10 times.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't. What are you guys watching? What are you getting out of this stuff?
I think the translation of what the guy, like the taxi driver, saying is "pay me first." I think is what I saw online, like Mushino or Bushino, whatever he's saying. I think it's "pay me first." When the guy keeps saying "go," like he keeps saying "pay me first." So he's like, yeah, and it's clear he just understands him the whole time because as soon as he gets the money, it's like, now you're speaking my language.
Why doesn't he just say that in English then if he speaks English?
Yeah.
Because then you wouldn't have that
it was
beautiful
funnier.
Scene.
It
funnier?
Yeah.
Are we sure it was funnier?
I thought so.
I'd love to see
you think
the
that was a waste of a comedic premise. I mean,
I thought it was just a waste
he...
of my time. I don't know. That was nothing.
My
you
God.
Know? I mean, I like the end. He's like, now you speak. You're like, okay, now, okay, I get money. It's a universal language. I get that. That made sense. But like, the rest of it was just like, why he's just yelling. It's just Chris Tucker yelling at people. I don't know. You can only do that for so many, you know, straight scenes before it's just like, okay, you know, I get it.
It's an hour and a half. Yeah. It's an hour and a half of hilarity.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, whenever he meets Isabella and he's hitting on her and he says, this is my yacht. And he's like, oh, you must know my friend Pedro Morales Magonzalez Marato Marazo Mandustos.
He just rattles off the name, yeah. Oh, I thought she ran in the best of circles. definitely seems like he's that seems like something he just freestyled on the spot.
Yeah, all of it was just improv. But like, I feel like I've seen Tyrese just do a funnier version of that.
Has he?
Yeah, I really think he has.
Send me this movie. Which one is it?
It's Fast 1 through 10. Yeah, watch Fast 1 through 10, and you'll get a lot of Tyrese doing better. Tyrese versions.
Is an M1. Can start at 2 fast.
Yeah, start at 2. Just go 2, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. So in Fast 2, yeah, at the end, he's like, why are you always eating, right? And he's like, oh, because food in jail sucks. I'm going to eat as much as I can while I'm out. Yeah, like that's more hilarious than anything Chris Tucker does in this movie. Like, what jokes did Tyrese deliver in Fast 2?
Does a lot of jokes. I don't know. Watch the
I guess movie. I got to rewatch it.
You got to rewatch it, yeah.
It's not as funny as this one.
Ejecto-cito, cuz.
Ejecto-cito, yeah. That was more fun than this. You know? Actually, in that one, he steals a bunch of money, too. And they both walk away with a bunch of money. I thought it would have been funny in this one if, like, when they picked up some of the money from the thing and they're like, I'm collecting evidence, it would have been better if, like, he went back and collected more evidence. You know, like
they went down and picked up more stacks of money.
By taking more money. Yeah, they sort of just left that live, and it was like, no, get some more evidence. Like, you know, it's like he's just taking the money. Yeah, I don't know. What are they doing here? I just have no idea what they're doing there.
Yeah,
it's just like a waste of a premise.
Then while they're on the yacht, you know, you get that funny interaction where he goes, "Who got killed, man?" And Lee's like, "Carter." And he goes, who died, Lee? You. Not you, you.
Yeah, they go back and forth a couple times.
And then it culminates in a callback to Rush Hour 1. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Yeah, no, I recognize that one from the other movie. Yeah. And they did their own version of Who's On First, which was always, you know, just a killer, I guess.
Yeah, but so, they did it better than Who's On First.
They did it better than Who's On First?
They did it better than Who's On
Chinese
First.
Because Chinese people have the name you in that...
Like, thank Who's On First for laying the foundation.
Oh my god. You think this was better than... This was just like, what if Chinese people had funny names? And you're just like, okay, let's go with that. Sometimes they're named you. That's crazy. It's fucking crazy. Their name is you. Because that's like an English word. Detective you. Okay, we get it. That's great. That was great. You're right.
Such
this is
a
like
hater.
One of those things where all this stuff is like fine, but you're like talking it up so much, it's just like that's not what happened. It's just like it was fine. It was like a fine bit, but it wasn't like anything special. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you just dislike Chris Tucker.
I think Chris Tucker was fine. I think it suffered from everyone else in this movie sort of being a charisma black hole.
Ricky Tan?
Like, there were no other good actors in this movie?
Oh, I think Jackie Chan did his parts fine.
Yeah, Jackie was okay, although he couldn't deliver any, like, verbal lines, I feel like.
I don't know how Rosalind Sanchez does any better.
Yeah, I thought she wasn't very good either.
Yeah, she just wasn't good. I think that's probably why she doesn't get a ton of work.
The, like, Chinese assassin lady was just nothing. That was just like a terrible version of this character. Yeah, I don't know. Ricky was doing nothing. The rich white guy.
Oh, he was awful.
He was just like a nothing. He was like, do you know the story of the dragon? And they was like, what are we talking about, dude?
Yeah. Greed will imprison us all. Yeah, the other callback that was good was, I can't believe I flew 10,000 miles for this shit. Like, that was within Rush Hour 2. But Carter says it first, and then Lee says it later.
Yeah, when
they're back
when they go back
stateside.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I mean, the blooper reel, in and of itself,
that was the best part of the movie.
Dave did say that was his favorite part of the movie. Yeah.
His name is Lee. Yeah. Jackie Chan, kick the door. Okay.
So I was telling Dave, like, that whole blooper of like the gefilte fish, like that must have just got cut from the movie because he couldn't do it.
It did.
Because there is the scene in the movie where he just says kosher and they just move on, and it was just like a weird drop.
Yeah,
so I think they really wanted the joke of him trying to pronounce it, but he just couldn't get the word, and they were just like, okay, screw it.
It ends up being like a non-joke though, because
yeah, that's they probably should have just included one of his poor pronunciations.
They could have just cut the. He's like, can
or
I
just cut the kosher
meal?
Part.
Yeah,
too.
This is the kosher meal. Shalom. It's like, I guess that's something, but it's like kind of nothing. I don't know.
I think it makes the blooper reel better knowing that
they had to cut it
because he couldn't get it.
The movie should be made for the blooper reel.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's you know,
fair. But it wasn't gonna. It would have been a bit that didn't really. I don't know. If he just said, oh, I love gefilte fish, right? What was the rest of that bit going to be?
I don't know. But I didn't write the joke or put it in. They did.
Yeah. So maybe it was going to be hilarious, and they didn't want to waste it. And they were like, in order for the blooper reel to make sense, we need to put it in here to show why we couldn't put it in.
You can, like, hear the assistant getting, like, progressively frustrated. Like, they have to keep telling him how to pronounce it.
Gefilte fish.
Gefilte. I wish more movies did that without the blooper reels at the end.
Yeah, listen,
like
the
that should just be like a
good.
Standard for the movies.
10 out of 10 blooper reel, no doubt.
10 out of 10 blooper reel.
I can't even think of another movie that has a good blooper reel.
Yeah, I don't know if a lot of them do like blooper reels anymore. I think it's like more common with these type of like improv like comedy movies because they have like sort of alternative takes and stuff.
I feel like Dude, Where's My Car had a blooper reel at the end.
Yeah, well, that was like,
and it was entertaining.
Dude, Where's My Car? That's a fun
That is
movie.
A good movie.
You know,
came out around this time. I don't know that it laid the foundation for the Fast and the Furious franchise, but...
I don't know, but it was definitely a better movie than this.
Yeah, I mean, they had that... they had a couple scenes.
They actually have a similar... You know, they're like, what is mine? Dude, what is mine? Oh my god, it's like the Who's on
Sweet.
First of stoner comedies. It's like, who knew? They also have a thing with it, talking to a Chinese guy. They're at the Chinese restaurant. You know, they're trying to place their order. You know, and then.
So when they were on that boat, you like find out when Ricky Tan's talking to Lee, you like find out that he's supposed to be his dad's old partner.
Yeah.
How does that work? Because Lee looks older than that guy, or at least the same age, but he's supposed to be his, you know, father's old police partner.
Yeah, I mean,
seems like they could have cast better for that if that's what they were doing.
Yeah, it could have been like an older Asian man. Because yeah, he looks younger than Jackie Chan.
Like
he is older.
That
than Jackie
seemed
Chan.
Weird to
he
me. Every time I've watched it, that seemed weird to me that he was like. That just I don't know. The ages just don't seem to line up.
I don't know. What's the career trajectory of a cop?
Yeah, I guess maybe he was just like a young. Could have just been a young upstart.
Yeah, could it have been that? Lee's father was 45 and he got a new recruit 25 on the force.
So as that could have been.
It definitely could have been, but it was just like, I don't know.
Just without knowing that though, like, you know, they're hoping you make that assumption because like otherwise it's just like, what are we doing? These guys look the same age. I don't know. Maybe they could have cast a little better there. Yeah, it turns out that he set up Lee's father. However many years ago. That's how he's like involved with Ricky Tan.
Yeah, so was Ricky Tan a part of the Triads before he became a cop? Or did he leave the force to join the Triads?
It seems like maybe he was... Yeah, it's hard to see if he like got turned dirty. Or if was just always a Triad.
Yeah, because it like wasn't... The movie didn't have a plot, so like...
Yeah, because... Yeah. That's fair. That didn't really matter, I guess.
Like, no one cared. It never came up. Like, I don't know. It's like, sure. Who cares what Ricky Tan was doing? He wasn't part of this movie. He was pretending to be dead for half of this. And then he came back, and it absolutely didn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, he killed Stephen Rain.
But that guy also didn't need to be in the movie. Why was that guy? I thought it was that guy's boat, but it was Ricky Tan's boat. So why was that guy in the movie?
It was Ricky Tan's boat?
That's what Chris Tucker kept saying.
Oh.
Because, like, when he first sees, like, the name the Red Dragon, he's like, oh, the Red Dragon, that's the name of Ricky Tan's boat.
which for some reason the name of the guy's casino.
Yeah, maybe Ricky Tan named it the Red Dragon.
I mean, maybe.
Ricky Tan is the Red Dragon.
He could have been. He was really just some guy. It was Bailey in this movie. Didn't need to be. There really didn't need to be any of the villains, I guess. Like, you could have really taken any of them out of there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of the villains are just repeat. Like, the Kung Fu crew that he constantly beats up.
A couple of them are just the same guy every time. Yeah, I did. The a couple of them have very distinct looking faces.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I like I did recognize like yeah the couple of the guys just kept popping back up every time.
I think that's just a feature of the Kung Fu movies, you know.
Well, he's never killing them, you know.
He's never killing them.
They get a couple hours. They get a couple hours to rest up.
Yeah, I guess they can fall. Even when they fall, like the bamboo, he falls on the fish and he like doesn't die, you know. And even when he knocks the other guys off, they just like. Tumble and just get hurt. Like the only person that falls to their death is Ricky Tan,
right? Because he's not going to be in Rush Hour 3.
Oh man, yeah. Well, I think this movie's hilarious. I'm sorry you didn't enjoy it, Monica.
I mean, I think it's just like fine. Like it wasn't bad, but it was just like. It's weird that this is such, like, if it, you know, like, this could just easily be a nothing movie. I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. But...
So, their big thing with, like, the bomb in his mouth, though, like, that would have just blown up that whole room.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know how, like, localized the explosion was going to be, but then later when it comes out of his mouth and you see it, like, land on the craps table or the roulette table, like, that's a pretty big explosion that would have, like, taken out that room they were in when she was threatening to blow him up when she was, you know, standing 20 feet away from him. Seemed like a bad idea to try to kill him.
Yeah, I mean, and whenever he's wrestling with the trigger with Hu Li, he like insists that every you know situation where she would press the button, his face is
he's right next to her. He just puts his face right next to her.
And seemingly, if you were just like within the vicinity of her, it would be fine.
Yeah, if you're touching each other, she's probably getting blown up as well.
Like, although, yeah. At the end of the movie, she suicide bombs herself, so maybe she would have been fine with that.
Yeah,
she was really committed to this counterfeiting organization.
Suicide bomb at the end.
It seems like she could have just ran away. I think she gave, like, the most catastrophically bad performance.
She was great.
Which is weird, because apparently this actress is, like, one of the most decorated Chinese actresses, and was in House of Flying Daggers and Hero and, you know, a lot of movies. But she was so, like, just dull. And we've seen, a version of this type of, you know, like, they're called, like, the dragon in films, but just, like, you know, the lead goon, lead henchman. And she was just so bad. You know? And her fight with Chris Tucker at the end was, like, super boring. It was, like, pretty short and kind of nothing.
Yeah, and she just gets, like, knocked out by the other thing falling down. Just like Chris Tucker actually does nothing.
I don't know. It was kind of disappointing, I think.
Yeah, that's a shame. I mean, rewatching to take notes, I couldn't stop laughing.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, do you get that when you rewatch Fast 2? Or Too Fast, Too Furious?
Definitely funnier than this, yeah.
No.
I mean, I don't know, like, the Fast and Furious, I don't think are, like, supposed to be comedies, but if I watched, like, I don't know, 21 Jump Street, I think I'd, you know, crack up a lot more than watching this one.
I think like start to finish the massage parlor scene is just everything about it just funny. Like all the quote, like it's good action scenes. Like the quotes are good. Like
I think the action comedy is good.
Yeah, Braden, in your notes you had the plant. What did you want to say about the plant?
We were just talking about like so like they're fighting and the guy like picks up the like planter to like smash on Jackie Chan's head. But instead of the whole planter lifting with, like, the glass, it's just, like, the plastic planter, which is, like, I guess that might hurt, but like, I don't know, you'd get a lot more effect if you were threatening with like a glass planter. But I don't know.
Yeah, he's gonna hit him with the roots of the fern.
That's also when he, like, you know, they're fighting and, you know, Chris Tucker punches Jackie Chan. He's like, sorry, man, you guys all look alike.
Listen, they did. You know, those
Ricky Tan?
snatches the guy's towel. Oh, no wonder you mad. Like, it's just like that whole scene is just so good.
Yeah, I mean, there were no really funny moments. Like, it wasn't the worst movie. You know? But it was like, the fact that you, like, I went back and watched this, it was cracking up. It was like, I don't know if you say so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know of a funnier character in any movie that I've seen.
Really?
I don't know that.
I don't know that this is the funniest movie, but, like, single character.
I think in The Other Guys, each of those two is individually is more funny than this.
The Other Guys is a way better version of this.
But I think, like, I can see what you're saying, which is, like, the one character being funny compared to, like, the whole movie. But I still think those two characters on their own are funnier than Chris. Like, and I love this movie, but... It doesn't sniff those characters.
I think I find movie. Like Will Smith bits and like Men in Black to be funnier than a lot of this stuff. I don't know. It was all fine, but like I don't know. It's so weird. Like I know this is like a very celebrated movie, but it just seemed just like nothing special. It was like the whole thing. I was like, oh yeah, this is how you do that stuff, I guess. But like,
this is a celebrated movie?
Yeah.
I'm happy to hear that. I mean, the only person I know that loves this movie is Braden.
The only person you know. This is like, people love this. People are like, this is the most rewatchable comedy, Rush Hour 2. You wouldn't believe it.
Couldn't agree more. I'm glad those people exist.
This might be mandatory watching on our cabin trip.
Ooh, White Chicks is a buddy cop movie that I think is better than this one. I'm sure that's a hot take, but I feel like I enjoy that one way more.
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty clear. I'll start it off. I think this is an uncle.
Wait. We haven't got to the. I got a bunch of.
You got more to say.
I got so much more to say. Yeah,
Let's hear it.
At some point, they play P. Diddy. I'll be missing you.
Yeah.
Right. P. Diddy didn't age super well.
Yeah.
Rhett Ratner was also accused of sexual assault. Who's the director? Jeremy Piven was also Me Too'd. And
really?
Chris Tucker apparently has connections to Jeffrey Epstein. So there was a lot of stuff going on, it seems like. Why does Jackie Chan give him his dad's badge?
He's strange.
Like, I don't need this anymore. It's like, yeah, but like, why would Chris Tucker need
this? Yeah, it's like, I also don't need this.
Yeah, it's like, neither of us, like, I have no connection to your dad. Like, what is this?
Maybe culturally that's something we don't understand, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's a way for Jackie to honor Chris Tucker.
No, I understand know. It was like a symbolic thing, but it was just like, what is the point of any of this? There was definitely, I don't know, it felt like this, there was definitely an input. It definitely felt like this missed a lot of moments. I was surprised they didn't do anything with the, like, the suits they got. Like, they had that whole scene where they went to get suits, and then they, like, did so little with it that it felt kind of wasteful. I guess they just wanted Jeremy Piven to act really gay, but it was like, I guess.
Real quick, too, when they were up in the room fighting, like, when Lee still had the bomb in his mouth, The assassin gets the gun at some point, and Chris Tucker stops himself from being shot by lifting up the rug. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
That doesn't stop the bullet from hitting.
No. You saw it go through. She just missed. It just obscured her vision.
Enough that he was able to scoot over and not get... Because that did kind of bother me a little bit. But okay. I'm with you. Okay.
Sure. And then the girl got shot at some point, Isabella... And then it was
shoulder.
And then it was just like, oh, she was fine, it turns out. And you're like, oh, okay, I guess.
It was a through and through. Yeah.
Why did she? I mean, Hu Li was trying to empty it into Isabella, but there was only one bullet left. And that just hit her in the shoulder and caused her to fall down.
Yeah,
like it feeds into the fact that this movie isn't about killing.
That's what the movie's about.
No, it's not about.
It opens with the girl taking a package into a very, very poorly secured embassy and just leaving a bomb that kills two Americans.
And then she dies at the end. I mean, there's a bunch of people who die.
It does seem very easy to walk into official buildings in China with bombs, and they don't seem to care very much.
Why did Ricky Tan fake his death?
That's, you know, he wanted to be like Tupac, you know?
Or Biggie, even, who was in this movie.
Yeah, because I guess initially you would have thought that it was to get the customs or special whatever people off their back, but then it turns out Isabella was working with him the whole time anyway, so she would have known he was still alive.
Yeah, like, and it didn't seem like he was in any danger of them, like, closing in on him, because he seemed to be untouchable. So, like...
Yeah. I guess I didn't really think about that. But I don't know why he needed to fake his own death.
Well, he probably knew that he was being kept around for bait. And if he were dead, then that meant the U.S. government would stop looking for him.
They'd have to change up their strategy or something.
The U.S. government was the Secret Service girl who was still...
Who knew he was still alive and where he was.
Because they go back to L.A. and talk to her.
Yeah. She's, like, sitting next to him in the Vegas office.
So, like, I don't... It just, like, that was just, like... It didn't matter.
I never really caught that or thought about it, but yeah, I don't think he needed to fake his own death at all.
Then they're like, oh, we have to follow the old rich white guy. And then it was like, that guy is in one scene. It doesn't matter at all.
Honestly, he had to fake his death so that, like, the audience would think that him and Hugh Lee were on opposite teams. Like, that was really the only reason. Because, like, we assumed they were at odds and she actually wanted to take over, but they were just, you know, they were working together. She shot him. Yeah, she shot him.
Yeah, I don't know what, but, like, why? But did it matter if they were on opposite teams? She was still against the main characters, right? Like, that was, I don't know.
It just would have made us believe, I guess, the Ricky Tan story that he told Lee when he was like, you know, he's being set up by, and like people within his organization trying to take him over. Like,
matter
but it wouldn't have mattered.
That?
Yeah. I don't know. If we're, like, they want us to like empathize with him and feel bad for him, but it's like, I don't know. He set up and killed the guy's father. Like, I think we're past that.
Yeah, I think it's up first they said he set up Jackie's father, and at the end he was like, I pulled the trigger.
He like admits to it at the end when Jackie has the gun.
It's also weird. He says like, oh, he didn't beg or do anything. He just asked me, you know, to not kill you. That's so pathetic. And it was like, it's weird that he was like, your dad was really cool and brave, but now I'm going to say he's pathetic in the next moment. It's like, no, you just told me he was, like, cool. It would have been, like, I don't know, it would have been more sense if he was like, your father begged me not to kill you. He was so pathetic. And then it was like, but it was just like, no, your father was a real stand-up guy. He was a real, real cool guy, but I think he's a bitch. And then it's like, oh, fuck you. I don't know.
The funny part, the reason for that scene, I don't give a shit what Ricky Tan says, because there's a Carter in the background who does a complete 180. He's like, nah, man, don't do it.
Yeah, after he says a certain thing.
Like, don't shoot it. And then he's like, oh, he done crossed the line. Fucking kill him. Just
don't say that about
him.
Your daddy.
Yeah, I saw the scene. It was just like, I don't know.
Out of your chair?
No, I was like, okay, I get it, because he just said something over the line, so you got to kill him now. Oh, also, I don't know when Rodney King was, but at some point, Chris Tucker says, you're going to get an old LAPD ass-beating.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's something we reference.
I think it was mid to late 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah, this probably would have been not long after that. This was 2001, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... I don't know. This was a movie. It was fine. I thought it was funny enough. I think me and Brad had a good time watching it, but like, I would never like feel the need to revisit this. So like, I don't know. Rewatch it many, many times in a row. I don't know. It seems like.
I think it has very uplifting elements to it. You know, oh my God, it'll immediately turn your mood around. If you're having a sour day, just fucking watch this. And then the rest of your day is going to be great.
Well, hopefully the rest of my day is great, I guess.
I guess you have to see and get back to us on it.
It didn't age that well. It doesn't look that good.
What do you mean it didn't age that well?
Most of the actors are pretty bad.
just because everyone has since gotten Me Too'd?
Well, that didn't
help.
Or,
I mean, like, accused of being Me Too'd? I don't know. What's the distinction
there?
Some of them,
it seemed like, definitely did it.
It seems and convicted are, you know, a couple different things.
I get what he means. Like, some of the, not necessarily racist, but, like, stereotype jokes. Yeah, I guess those are racist jokes. But
some ways, just like, you Asians all look the same. I'm going to slap you back to Bangkok.
Although Jackie Chan does get him back on that one when he tells him to slap him back to Africa.
Yeah, and I get that. I mean, Jeremy Radner was accused of rape by a talent agency employee. Women accused
Brett
of
Radner
sexual
or
assault.
Piven?
This is Brett Radner.
Okay.
Elliot Page accused him of sexual harassment and outing them as gay in front of people who confirmed the story. A fashion model also. A lot of stuff, really. Not a great guy. Again, that's a different issue. Like, that's all bad, but I just mean, like, a lot of the humor, like, Jeremy Piven just being, like, a stereotypical gay guy, and that being, like, the humor in the scene was kind of like, okay, sure, like, I guess this is, and, you know, for its time, I'm sure it was fine, but it was like, I don't know, there's nothing there. And I also just thought it, like, looked kind of not great. I don't know if, like, lighting has just got a lot better over the years, but like, a lot of the shots just, like, were kind of a little dull and, like...
Yeah, well, lighting, I think, probably did play a part in that. Because, yeah, I know what you mean. It did just kind of seem a little, like, not really, like... I mean, it was dark, but, like, not even, like, front-lit very well where you could, like, see the details on any of their stuff.
Yeah, so it was just, like, there wasn't a lot of, like, style that I was enjoying. But, I mean, I think that's just, you know, it's been 20 years or whatever, so that's just something that happens. I don't know, I thought it was okay. But, like, I don't think it was, like, a bad movie. I just, like... You know, I don't think it lived up to the hype, I guess.
Oh, the hype that me and Tank have been giving it over the past
That's
year.
A shame.
No, like, if you search for Rush Hour 2 online, like, people like, oh my god, this is, like, an amazing, this is, like, one of the, you know, the movies I revisit a lot. Like, you know, it's one of those type of movies.
It got 6.7 on IMDb, 51% Rotten Tomatoes, which seems low to me.
Does it seem low to you, though?
Yeah.
Does it seem low? If you think about it again?
No, thinking about it again seems low.
I don't know.
Listen. I mean, especially the Rotten Tomatoes, you know, because that's generally more like...
You surprised critics didn't like this?
Oh, I thought Rotten Tomatoes was more like... Oh, no, is that not the popular vote?
I don't know. You're the one looking at it.
Well, Rotten Tomatoes, I think, will show you two different ones. Yeah. It'll show you, like, the tomato meter and the...
This one is, yeah, like it's a 51 tomato meter and a 74 popcorn meter.
Yes,
yeah,
so, like, the popcorn one's audience and the tomato one's... critics.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. Like, I think it's like, it's an uncle, but it's just like, you know, like, don't go crazy. You know, don't go out of your way to watch it.
Oh my god.
Like, if it's on, like, you know, like, you can look at the screen, but like...
If it's on and you've seen it 100 times, yeah, you could probably
sit down and do nothing else. No.
If you've seen it 100 times, probably don't go out of your way to watch it. If you've never seen this movie, you should go out of your way to watch it.
You think this movie was that good?
Yes, I would recommend this to anyone.
Wow. Okay.
Yes, I'd recommend it to anyone.
We might have to watch this with the guys if they haven't seen it.
No, don't make me watch it a second time. That's not fair.
That's not...
I don't make you guys watch movies a second time.
Fair enough.
But, like, you would...
You didn't make me watch Bumblebee a second time. So.
I did do that. But, you didn't have to. You came to the wedding.
Maybe even a third time. I don't know.
I think you've only seen it twice. But you would rather watch this than, like, The Other Guys or one of the Jump Street movies?
The Other Guys would top this for me, but I don't know past that. I would have to do a lot of thinking.
Oh, so you'd have to do a lot. This is what you're going to put your mind to. This is where you do a lot of thinking.
I think I literally skipped over The Other Guys on Netflix and found this, which is how this came to be our podcast episode. Like when I found this Rush Hour 2 on Netflix, I had skipped over Other Guys on Netflix.
Really?
Yes. And it's not because The Other Guys is bad. It's because, they did things to it. It's not the original. Like, the one we saw in 2010...
They changed all the lines, for sure.
Really?
They changed some of the lines. I think they may have, like, changed some music in a few scenes. And it's bothersome enough that I'm like, well, I'm not going to watch the Netflix version because it's not...
Well, that's, like, a particular problem with whatever the hell you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, in terms of movies, like, that's just a much more fun movie to me than, and like a much more quotable movie to me than this is.
Are you, what?
They're probably close quotability.
I don't think this has that many good quotes.
I think the other guy is funnier.
What are the quotes from this? Don't touch a black man's radio? Or...
Literally, I in looking at this movie, I looked at the transcript. I found a transcript of the movie.
Okay.
And I was like, I should just copy-paste all Carter's lines. Because literally everything he says is fucking hilarious.
What are the quotes from this movie?
How about whenever he's going up to the quiet room and he goes, ain't gonna be no quiet room no mo.
When the guy at the casino is hassling him, and he's like, sir, why don't you come down from there? He's like, sir, why don't you go over there and count something? Like,
I literally say that to
so
Jess.
Funny.
Anytime Jess says, I think you should, or anytime I say to Jess, I think you should, the response is always, I think you should go over there and count something.
Like, when they come out of their meeting with Isabella, and he's like, oh, you know, Special Agent Carter, like, you know, I'm going to work at the White House. He's like, oh, you never take a bullet for someone. He's like, but they don't know that. Like, that's...
I mean, you're saying the jokes in the movie. I don't know if those are, like, the quotable lines. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think Tanks was, go over there and count something. You know? I like in that scene, he's like, I don't want to get robbed by all these rich white people. Like, that was fun. But, like, yeah, I don't know. It's, you know. But I just, like, I don't know. I feel like the other guys has much better quotes than this, you know? I feel like Jump Street, I found, I don't know, it's like a similar type of movie. Just like the buddy cop genre. And it hit a lot, you know, more of the notes I like. I don't know. I thought this was fine, but if you're saying it's like one of your favorite movies that you watch 100 times, it's just like, what? You know, in terms of favorite movies watched 100, like, I have movies we can talk about that we watched 100 times, like, no doubt. But,
like, what? The New Guy.
But, like, The Intern. Let's talk about
The Intern.
Let's talk about this soon. Yeah.
Oh, great. I can't
wait.
Little
teaser.
I feel like Tanks and you are vindictive about The Intern all of a sudden.
All of a sudden? No, I've been planning this shit.
Oh,
yeah, you've got it lined up. Okay.
For days. For days. Good. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to talk about it. Oh, yeah, this is an uncle. I thought it was fine. Don't go crazy. Don't go out of your way.
Definitely an uncle for me, and I would say go out of your way.
Don't scroll past the other guys to watch. That's insanity.
Yeah, definitely an uncle. Would highly recommend anyone and everyone watch this movie because it's fucking hilarious.
Yes.
It's just okay.
And it's a tight hour and a half, you know? It's not going to eat up a ton of your time.
Yeah.
It's like an easy watch.
It felt longer
you know?
Than The Intern, which was 2 hours, which is interesting.
It felt longer than The Intern?
I watched them back to back, and it felt a lot longer.
I watched them not back to back, but, I mean, near. And, God damn it.
The Intern just blew by. Like, I was watching, I was like, how is this over? I can't believe this is ending. This is awful, because now I gotta go watch Rush Hour, and then I went to watch Rush Hour.
Is this the first dual episode where we just segue right into the fucking next one?
You wanna just keep but yeah, it was okay. No, there was fun stuff. Like, it was definitely fun. I definitely have seen this when I was younger, and I imagine I liked it better when I was younger. You know, and it was just like, I don't know, I think some of the stuff was just probably fresher back then, and it's been a while, so just... I don't like old movies. I think I'm just sort of biased against old movies, too. Not that this is super old, but just, like, I think the look of them, I just sometimes, it just, like, throws me enough. Especially, like, Darkroom. Like, a lot of the palette was kind of, like, sort of a grayish palette. Some of it was at night, and I just don't enjoy that stuff that much.
It really aged it, too, in the blooper when he pulls out his flip phone to have the conversation with whoever calls him that wants to then talk to Jackie Chan.
Honestly, I didn't even notice. Like, I didn't even notice that was a flip phone. Like, you mean, like... I don't know. I just sort of blew way past that, I guess. But yeah,
they had fun making this, and it was fun to watch.
Yeah. No, I mean, as long as they had fun making it, that's all it needs from me.
That's what we're here for.
I think it contributed to the fun in watching it.
Yeah. You know? I thought the blooper reel was funny, yeah. You know? That John Cena was funny, you know? You know, there were good moments. It's not a bad movie. Like, it's not a movie I hate. I mean, I was a little negative on it, but like, it's just, you know, sort of thermostatic, I guess. You know? Okay, well, I think we're good here then.
Yeah, it was fun.
Okay,
I think so. Thanks again for joining, Braden.
Of course.
All right. Fwah, 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 fwah.